Let's go back in time to 1932 as Converse brings you historic footage of the legendary original Celtics with whom all great professional teams are compared.
We have now taken over your radio.
Richie Guerin is about to show you the most important step in getting past a man. It's the first one.
And Oscar will inbound it. The men in green, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's Al Cinder against Bellamy.
Person has Jordan. Allen shakes free. Gets two!
Gilmore on.
To go in the first quarter for the Cal Palace. Here's Barry.
Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead.
Hello, and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast. I'm Jason Mann, and back with me after an absence, Rich Krejci. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Yes, it feels weird and naked to not be a part of one of them. It's the the lost episode that I'm not on. But no, it was a really good show with you and Ian, and that's it's just a part of their continuing process of this project, this Top 50 project, which has just been. I think I've had the most fun kind of doing this because it's something that we've sort of sunk our teeth into, and we've done little projects here and there, multiple episode stuff. But this one's really cool because there's something at the end of the tunnel. You know what I mean? Like when it's all said and done, I feel. We'll be very accomplished because we'll have something. We'll have a good list. We'll have a new NBA's 50 greatest. And in my mind, the definitive NBA's 50 greatest.
Absolutely.
I mean, that 1996 list, screw it. Wikipedia should change to our list. Everything. We will have the definitive one, and that'll make me feel really good.
Yeah.
But seriously, it's going to be awesome to get to the end of the road when we eventually do. But the journey getting there has been a lot of fun. I've been enjoying the hell out of it.
Yeah, it's inarguable that ours is obviously going to be definitive.
Right, I mean, come on.
Yeah. So we're just kind of taking a look at where we are after we went through the top 50 players with Curtis Harris. Thanks to him so much for taking a lot of time out to talk to us and give us a great perspective on the current top 50. And we sort of divided everyone into categories, and we kind of wanted to share where we were on that with the players. So. Right now we've picked 23 that are pretty much in. You can lock them in. They're there. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Charles Barkley, Rick Barry, Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, Julius Irving, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Karl Malone, Moses Malone, George Mikan, Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon, Bob Pettit, Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell, Dolph Schayes, and Jerry West. Those guys we already said were definitely in on the very first show. The guys that we, after conversations with Curtis, we added are Paul Arizin, Walt Frazier, Scottie Pippen, John Stockton, and David Robinson. So that is 23. So almost half of our list is already taken care of. We don't have to worry about it anymore.
That's good. Well, it makes it easy.
Yes.
But
yes.
We'll also make it hard as we get closer down and start going over some of these current guys and some other stuff. So I'm happy with that list, though. I don't think there's anybody that, and I'll be curious to see if anybody has any issue with any of those 23. But when you list those names, I mean, I don't think there's anyone that I even for a second thought, I don't know about top 50. Everyone seems pretty solid in there. So I think we did a good job with that.
Yeah, I feel good about who we have on there for sure. And so now we're, looking at the post-1996 players and looking at the guys who, are absolute no-brainers. And we picked five that we feel like are on the list for sure, don't really need much discussion. So we're just going to talk a little bit about them here. So we'll start with Kobe Bryant. 18th in win shares, 39th in win shares per 48th, 29th in box score plus minus, and 16th in value of replacement player. The latter two stats, of course, only really apply to players who played after 1974. So it's something to remember in these totals. But not a whole lot you have to say about Kobe. Obviously the five titles, twice Finals MVP. One-time MVP, which seems sort of a small amount given, the stature he has as a player's reputation. But, he had two or three other MVP caliber seasons for sure.
It's always kind of tough with the NBA, and that, I think that's always a problem when you look at like NBA legends and you look at MVPs or whatever, and you're always like, oh, that guy's only got like, you know, that guy's only got like one or that one. But the fact that they only give, you know, the one MVP per league, whereas, you know, a lot of sports, including, you know, baseball, which I follow very closely, will give, you know, the American League and the National League. So you get a little bit better representation, I think, whereas it's tough with the NBA because there are a lot of guys, and Kobe is absolutely one of them. And you know, you look at one MVP and you go, oh, man, I mean, that guy was like an elite level player for, you know, 10 plus, you know, almost 15 years. And he's got one MVP to show for it. But that's sort of the nature of the beast when you only have the one. And then the way that they do the voting as well. NBA is always, and this is true of other leagues as well. A lot of times it is more kind of the guy who's the best story of the year. You know, not necessarily always the best player that gets it every single year. And that's, I get why they do that. And there's, of course, always the value. So it's, you know, a guy that, you know, maybe took his team that shouldn't have been that good and made them better. And there's always little caveats there. But it was always kind of funny. And you'll see that as we go through these guys where you look at guys that are legends and they have, you know, one or two MVPs. But I don't think that's necessarily a reflection of them as much as it is just a reflection of how the MVP is conducted and how in the NBA. So just thing I wanted to know, because it is always kind of funny to think that Kobe only has one, you know, it's tough.
Yeah. And Shaq only has one too. You know, that's not the one where it's right. Like, oh yeah. It's just weird how that
works. Like Shaq definitely had like 10 years where he was like unguardable and like without a doubt, like one of the best players, but you know, he had a little layover between, you know, the Jordan era, he, you know, obviously the Malone year, you know, and then he gets to the '90s and then, you know, you start moving into kind of the LeBron. It's weird. So it's tough, but there's always that little caveat you got to remember. Right. So.
But I, one nice thing is there's the all NBA list. And I think those do sure. A pretty good job of representing the league. And in fact, Kobe has 11 times on the all NBA first team, twice on the second team, twice in the third team also. And I'd kind of just, I mean, I knew he'd been on some, but I didn't realize that he was a 9-time all-defensive first team and 3 times on the second team. It's more than I would have expected. And I know that some of that was a little bit of extra reputation defense. Like, I know his defense kind of fell off before his before you know, people stop voting for him. That's a fairly common thing to happen on the all-defensive team. But still, he was an incredible defender. Really, a very underrated versatile player, I think.
Yeah.
You know, before Shaq left and he, you know, became primarily a scorer, though obviously did a lot of other things too, was, you know, tremendous superstar. But I do think like early on in his career, you know, he was a little bit doing more things, I guess, because he wasn't necessarily the primary scorer all the time.
Yeah, and that's always the thing that, you know, the numbers don't necessarily reflect it all that much, though they show a little bit. But if you've ever, you know, if you're an ardent watcher of the NBA and watching, you know, Kobe Bryant's, you know, career, you do kind of notice that as well. I mean, I remember, and even through this podcast, going back and watching, you know, the Blazers series and some of those early 2000 series, the ones with Shaq, and you see Kobe, he's all over the floor. He's a good defender, you know, he's getting rebounds. And that's not to say he doesn't do that these days, but now you sort of, the scoring has become so much of what he does that you forget that in those early years, he was sort of the guy that a lot of times when the ball was, you know, thrown down to Shaq and Shaq was backing guys down or doing whatever, they're running, you know, their sets or whatever, that Kobe was all over the floor and doing stuff. And that's hard to believe now, because a lot of times when you watch him now, he's so ball dominant and so, you know, the usage percentage shows that. I mean, he had some years where he was like 38%, like, you know, usage percentage, which is insane. But so he was, there were times where he was doing stuff off the ball or off, you know, and you don't get that quite as much these days. So there is a, or at least, you know, in the past 10 years or so, but in those, you know, Kobe Shaq years, you were getting that a little bit more. But yeah, Kobe Bryant to me, he's a no brainer for sure. I mean, even if you don't want to do any of the stats, which I've, of course the stats will back him up exactly. But if we were just saying, hey, we're a podcast that's not even going to look at advanced stats, we're not going to look at stats, he's the guy that come out would be almost a no brainer just based off the titles, just based off MVPs, all NBA first teams, and just the reputation as well. I mean, you when you talk about the top 50 players in NBA history, I mean, Kobe Bryant's on there.
Yes. Third all-time in points as well. 7 seasons in the top 10 in win shares per 48. Also 7 in top 10 in value of replacement player. So, yeah, good stuff. Next is Tim Duncan. He is 6th all-time in win shares, 12th in win shares per 48, 12th in box score plus minus, and 6th in value of replacement player. 2 times the MVP, has 3 finals MVPs, and has won 5 championships. Another remarkable career. just like Kobe and like, you know, the other guys who are going to be on this list, a very great lengthy career, although Duncan's been able to stay healthy and be an effective player, you know, even in his late 30s, where Kobe has obviously dropped off in the last couple of seasons, mostly because of injury. Mm-hmm. But 10 all NBA first teams, 3 second teams, 2 third teams, also 8-time all defensive first team, 7 times second team. Maybe the best defensive player never to win defensive player of the year award. That's... you know, I mean, that was pre-Russell. So I mean, you know, Russell never had a chance to win it. But or post-Russell, rather. So, yeah, right. But other than that, I would say I think there's a decent chance that it's Duncan.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty remarkable. Not only the 8, you know, all defensive first teams, but also to have the 7 second, you know, where it's not, I think that's almost just as remarkable. It's just because that sort of tells you what his reputation was. And that when you get that many years, as you said, when we talked about Kobe a little bit, sometimes the guys can go, you know, 2 or 3 years, a little late, and you know, they're not still the defender they once were, but people still kind of vote them. But to have that long of a track record of making that team, and not only just not being, you know, the first team, but also that second team. And that's a lot of times you'll see, you know, guys where you kind of roll your eyes and they're guys that just get blocks and steals or whatever, and they make the first team because it's flashy or whatever. But to get on both, either one of those teams as many times as you did, that, I mean, that right there speaks volumes about what Tim Duncan did on that side of the ball. And that's not even talking about his awesome, you know, offensive, you know, output as well, which is just incredible. And yeah, he's a no-brainer, absolutely no questions. And he's another one like Kobe. Even if we didn't want to worry about stats or whatever, titles and these all NBA first teams or whatnot, I mean, he's there. He absolutely is.
Yeah. 7th all-time in blocks, 9th in rebounds, 14th in points, 13 seasons in top 10 in win shares for 48, and 9 times in value over replacement player. So yeah,
good.
Yeah, pretty good. Looking good. Yes. Good analysis, Rich. Appreciate that. Next,
and he's still going.
Yeah,
this guy's got—he's adding his resume. Right, like, what are you doing? You can't keep adding to your resume, Tim. Like, right. Stop. Yeah, like, you're done.
He might, you know, might have another couple great years in him. You never know.
Yeah, be more like this next guy.
Yeah,
he's stopped. He's done.
He might be done. Yeah,
he's been nice enough to let us just kind of halt it and go ahead.
Kevin Garnett, 8th all time in win shares.
That's your starting power forward this year for the Minnesota Timberwolves, right?
Yeah. Well, you know,
for like 2 games until they're like, oh, okay, you know what? Let's not do that.
He's a mentor for the kids. So
right.
30th in win shares for 48, 14th in box plus minus, 4th in value over replacement player, 1 MVP, 1 finals MVP, 1 championship in 2 finals appearances, and 1-time defensive player of the year. And Ben Wallace really had a lock on that award because there's some guys who were just incredible, you know, defensive players. Our test too. Yeah. I think he won a couple, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Garnett also, now this was a little surprising, only 4 all NBA first teams, 3 second and 2 third. Granted, he played for some pretty bad Minnesota teams in there, which would have kind of depressed his, you know, might have kept him off there a little bit, in the, you know, mid 2000s. I guess it did take him a couple years to really get noticed in Minnesota. I mean, he was pretty good, you know, at year 2 or so afterward, but it, you know, Kobe kind of got the attention right away because he played for the Lakers. It took Garnett a little bit longer to you know, kind of get that same attention.
Yeah, it was almost like that 2003-2004-ish era that I remember really noticing, oh my god, this guy's great. And it seemed like the general public noticed around that time as well, and then throughout the, you know, the mid-2000s. But yeah, like you said, those early 2000s and a lot of the, you know, the late 90s, where he was at this point becoming a pretty good player. He still wasn't getting much attention because they were just an awful team. They played Minnesota, and there's all that stuff. So that could play into it. And also his peers, too. I mean, the guys, it's a tough time. I mean, what the position he was playing at that time, the guy we just talked about before is an all-time legendary, you know, power forward slash center guy. And we're going to talk about a guy in one of our future shows, you know, just when you go over this era and you look at the guys that were forwards, it's a tough crowd of guys there. So I could see how it would be, but still 4 times seems a little low for a guy of his level and a guy that I would absolutely say deserves or is a no brainer to make that top 50. So that is slightly low, but
yeah, it just a little bit of a surprise, but that obviously doesn't change the calculus for me whatsoever. But
no,
but
not at all.
It's a bit of a surprise. But, you know, if I were looking at Kevin Garnett 30 from years from now and didn't know about Kevin Garnett, I would look at that and be like, huh, it seems, you know, you know, maybe I would put him down another tier based on that, or at least would be tempted to put him down another tier because I would think, well, you know, the people who were, you know, voting on these at the time didn't think of enough of him to put him, you know, as many times as Tim Duncan or Kobe or whatever, then I guess, you know, then there's a reason for that. But, you know, I sure would put him right on the same, basically on the same level.
Well,
as
when we go on a podcast in 40 years and talk to these young whippersnappers all about Kevin Garnett, we'll have to reserve that and make sure we keep our memories alive that, no, he was, we promise, he was awesome.
Absolutely.
So I can't wait for that. So if you want to pre-book us for 40 years from now, we are available.
All right. I'll keep that.
Tuesdays and Wednesdays usually.
Yeah. That's,
you know, whatever. I don't know what's, yeah, I don't know what my schedule is going to be like
different in 40 years.
I know. I feel like it's going to be pretty similar.
He is 17th all time in steals, 19th in blocks, 18th in points, 10th in rebounds, 5th in minutes. He's coming very, very close to 50,000 minutes in his career. So I thought he would break that threshold last year, but unfortunately it didn't happen. But he's apparently playing a year or two more, so eventually he's got to get there.
He just has an insane career, too. And it's always kind of funny when you look at these guys, and the next guy we're talking about is going to be one of those, too, where these high school guys, and it's hard, you got to kind of change the calculus of how you think of these guys' careers, because it's unbelievable to know how long Kevin Garnett has been playing, because, and it's also probably my age as well, because I remember him getting drafted. I remember him in high school. You know, I watched him play in high school, and now the guy is still around, and, you know, he's nearly, you know, he's 38 or 4 or 39, I believe, right now. But just remembering how long these guys play with these high school guys, when they come out when they're 18 and they become legends, they just stick around forever. It's just ridiculous how long these guys will play for. And it's cool. It's really, really cool though.
Yeah. He's got a chance to beat Parrish's all time seasons record. So, so that would be pretty remarkable. So next, someone you might've heard of, LeBron James. He is
someone's gonna get mad. Someone's gonna compare him to Michael Jordan and get really mad, even though that's not what we're doing.
It's possible. It's possible.
I know. I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah.
Our listeners, I think, are smart.
I'm not worried about our listeners. I think they'll be okay.
We'd get more clicks if we had the other ones, but that's fine. I'd rather have the smart listeners than me.
15th all time in win shares, 6th in win shares per 48, 1st in box score plus minus, and 3rd in value of replacement player all time. And granted, he's only 30. So he still, you know, probably has
that's what I mean. Like, quite a few years in his career. That's stupid. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
4-time MVP, 2-time finals MVP, 2 titles in 6 finals appearances. 9-time all NBA first team, twice on the second team, and 5-time all defensive first team, once on the second team. He's already 25th in points, 26th in assists, 55th in rebounds, and 36th in steals. Steals only goes back to 74, but it's still an impressive number. And he has 10 times in the top 10 in win shares for 48, including 5 times as number one. And 11 times as the top 10 in value of replacement player, 8 times number one, twice number two. So,
jeez. Well, real quick about him, and I think this could be an interesting question. Is, and we talked a little bit about this with Curtis on one of our earlier shows, and that was one of his issues with that original list, is there were a lot of guys that still hadn't quite made their legacies yet. Like, he mentioned a guy like Shaq, who's the first one that you bring up and go, this guy, I mean, at this point, he had so much of his career left, and it kind of seemed, you know, unjust or whatever to have him on that list already because he hadn't quite done, not that he wasn't going to on that career trajectory, but that, and you know, that he could have just done so much more and we could have had just a much clearer idea of what he was going to be. LeBron, I feel like his legacy is already kind of there. I mean, we know what it is. We know it's great. We know it's all time good. Is there something where you would say, you know what, maybe he's not a guy that we add initially because he's got so much left to go? I mean, we talk about guys like Garnett and Kobe and Tim Duncan or whatever. I feel like they're pretty, there's not much that these guys are going to do to pad their resume. LeBron is still very capable of doing that. I'm kind of on the fence about it. I don't know how you feel. I would say, yeah, just put him in. Because right now, at this point, if he retired tomorrow and said, hey, I'm done, he's absolutely there. But there's sort of a cheapness to it of like, well, what can he still do? I mean, how, I don't know. I kind of wrestle with that. I think he's no doubt on there, and I'm absolutely not saying that he shouldn't be. But it becomes kind of a funny, you know, thought or idea if you kind of look at, you know, do you consider his career sort of set in stone at this point? I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, I don't consider it set in stone, but I consider him to have accomplished enough clearly where there's no question, like nothing could happen where he would, you know, not be a absolute shoe-in for this list. I mean, I think he's, I it would be hard for me to argue him not being a top 10 player of all time at this point if he retired tomorrow. I mean, he's that good. So, yeah. But there are players where, and there's, you know, one that we're gonna, that I think will likely be on our list, but I do think is, you know, there may be one guy who people might think we're putting on there a little bit too soon. And he definitely can add a lot to his legacy, but I do feel like I still think he likely belongs on this list even now. So, mm-hmm. But LeBron, no, I mean, I just think he's done too much. He's been too impressive to be anything other than this list. And I don't necessarily mind a guy's legacy not being completed, because I mean, I think once you're in, I think, I mean,
I agree.
Yeah. I certainly see Curtis's point, and I respect that that's the approach that he takes, but I think it's okay for, you know, I think our approach is good too.
Yeah, like, and this, the difference is, like, you know, we're not putting, like, Anthony Davis in there or whatever, and that's almost kind of, I mean, not to the level, but almost what they did when they put Shaq in there,
yeah.
And you knew that trajectory was going to be there, just like I think Anthony Davis. I mean, I could go on record and saying, hey, in 10 years, we're probably going to have, you know, if we are doing this, we'll say that Anthony Davis is, you know, possibly a 50 greatest player, you know, an all-time great or whatever, but right now, I mean, let's let it ride out a little bit, whereas I think, yeah, I agree with you that I think LeBron, if he said tomorrow, hey, you know what, this is stupid, I'm done, I retire, in my mind, goes down as top 10, you know, all time, and in my mind, absolutely goes down as an NBA's, you know, 50 greatest. And that's, I think, the point that we have to make here is don't worry about what he can do. You know, let's just stop right now and say, okay, right now at this point of this recording, is he a 50 greatest all time? And he absolutely is. I mean, there's no question he is. So
yeah.
I'm fine with it as well.
And also on the list is Dirk Nowitzki, who is our fifth current post-1996 no-brainer. But we're going to table that discussion because we're going to have Kirk Henderson on of MavsMoneyBall.com in a future show to talk about Dirk. So we'll just kind of save our discussion for him there. But he would also be on the list as well. So
yeah.
So that is 28 players that we are, you know, absolutely, they're locked in. We can lock them in. So that, I don't know if we have a locked sound effect like that.
Yeah, I'll add it right there. Okay. I'll forget. Right. I'm saying that now, but I'm going to forget and not do it. Okay. But just in case,
all
for
right.
People are like I have a lock in the other room. I'll go.
All right. All right. Fair enough.
We'll just do fully sounds here.
So just to give a sense of where we are numbers wise, we're not going to go through everybody that we have on the rest of the list, but just want to, just to give everyone kind of an idea of what we're dealing with. We now have 15 players, including six new players, that were not on the original list, but that we would add to our list, in the likely category. So we think there's a very good chance that they are going to make the list. There's still discussion and research and things to talk about, but we're you know, very confident about these 15 names. So 28 plus 15 is 43.
Oh,
so yeah.
Uh-oh.
And then we have nine players in the next tier, which we're now calling possible. That would have been your, I don't know, I'm not sure what that would have been before, but now it's possible. We will, as we go through the next series of shows talking about the, you know, post-1996 players, and they may be added to the possible list. They may even be moved up to the likely list, depending on how the arguments are. But these are people who, you know, the numbers game are kind of getting to them, but they're still, you know, at the moment, they're in the hunt. And then we have nine more. So that's 52 players right there who are either in, likely, or possible. Without, and there's a lot of players we still have to, you know, look at, post-1996 players. So numbers crunch for sure. And then we have nine more players who were part of the original top 50 who we've essentially eliminated from contention. So they are Tiny Archibald, Dave Bing, Jerry Lucas, Pete Maravich, Earl Monroe, Nate Thurman, Bill Walton, Lenny Wilkins, and James Worthy. So goodbye, guys. So I mean, they're great players.
Not Earl. No,
they're great players. So, you know, but, you know, we kind of feel like after looking at their cases, after talking about them with Curtis going forth, that, you know, they certainly had great careers, but, you know, just.
Who do you think people are going to get mad about? I say Worthy.
I think Maravich, but.
Okay, that's a good one too.
Yeah, I think Maravich or Worthy probably would get the. I think people love Walton, but they probably understand the longevity argument.
Sure.
And I don't think the other guys really have huge constituencies these days.
Yeah,
if I could say that word, that would be helpful.
the Nate Thurman fan club is
not
an all time low right
fast.
Now.
So, so yeah, I think that will be a. I think we'll be okay there.
Yeah.
I guess we should say that the next step, we already kind of alluded to it, but we are going to talk about individual players and with different guests and sort of talk about the strengths and weaknesses of their case, similar to what we did with Curtis, maybe a little bit more in depth on some of the guys, depending on need. So we've got a list of players, we've got a bunch of different guests lined up from Harvard Paroxysm Network and from different places. We're still getting in touch with other people to connect with them, so we're gonna get through as many players as we can, through the rest of this offseason before we, eventually have to wrap up the project. It'll be exciting and fun. I'm really looking forward to, getting different perspectives from people and, digging through this and, coming up with the best answer that we know how.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, it's going to be fun these next few days of, talking to these guys, or next few weeks, I should say. Hell, it might be a month at this point, but by the time we go through all these guys, there's a lot of guys here, and it's going to be a lot of fun because it's basically going to be, us going over those guys, talking about their stuff. And a lot of these people that have signed on to do these are almost kind of in a way saying, hey, I want to make the case for this guy. That's sort of how we, we didn't necessarily say you have to say this guy absolutely is, but that people have a passion for this guy. We're not just, grabbing random people and saying, hey, you talk about Dirk or whatever. We ask people, hey, here's a list of guys. And they go, oh no, I want to talk about, X or whatever. And let's talk about him. So that's going to be kind of fun to see the passionate fan, on that side saying, no, you got it. This guy, here's his case, here's this or whatever. So it'll be kind of fun to see how it kind of goes and talk to different guests and talk to different people and add some different voices to this conversation. But I'm definitely looking forward to it. And yeah, like I said, this project's, right up my alley. So I'm way into it and can't wait to see the progress and when we eventually get there. So.
Absolutely. So, you can find us at HarvardParoxysm.com. We are a part of the HP Basketball Network of podcasts, The Podium Game. And now also we have the overandbacknba.com, which is our new forums where, if you have opinions about any of these players or any of our shows or, anything that you want related to basketball, you can go to overandbacknba.com. You can sign up. It's very, very easy to register. And you can, talk with us about, what we think. We've got threads on basically every top 50 candidate you can think of. You can, share what you think about them or, whatever you want. It's a growing little community. We're pretty excited about it. We've already had some interesting posts on there. And I think some great discussion can be fostered through that.
Definitely, yeah. So overandbacknba.com, if you didn't hear Jason there, to sign up for the forums. It'll take you right there. And yeah, like I said, we have different forums for different eras of basketball, a bunch of different stuff. But yeah, definitely join in. And we're still kind of growing here. But yeah, we need more people and we need more discussion. And it's going to foster a real good, kind of community, I think, once it gets off and running. So yeah, definitely join if you're interested in talking basketball. And who isn't? Come on.
Absolutely. If you're listening to this show, there's a good chance of that. So.
Exactly.
Also, you can find us on Facebook at Over and Back NBA, also Twitter at Over and Back NBA, and also we would appreciate if you want to, you can search for us on iTunes at the HB Basketball Network, and we're part of that family of great podcasts, so if you could leave a rating and review, we would greatly appreciate it. It helps people find the show and find all the great shows that are part of the expanding Harvard Paroxysm Basketball Network.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back again soon with some additional looks at players. So see you later.